Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. I guess we should talk about wrestling and not baseball, right? Because I've definitely watched more baseball this week than I have wrestling.
Well, it's not
Which is saying a lot. Because usually, you know, my whole routine is I'll watch Raw when I get home from work.
Right.
Well, game three of the Cubs and Giants series was still going on, and that game went 13 innings and ended around 3 in the morning. So, I watched Raw kind of, like, the next day, but with not a whole lot of attention to it, because I was kind of out of it, because I stayed up really late.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you tell me about some moments from Raw that you would like to talk about?
Okay, literally all that's worth talking about from Raw is Goldberg and Lesnar is all but confirmed.
Yeah.
What I want to talk about here,
it seems kind of anticlimactic, right? That
I don't.
I mean, yeah, I understand, like, the whole, like, you know, Goldberg tweeting thing was, you know, to set up for next week so everyone would tune in.
Right. And I'm fine with that. Like, okay, sure. Yeah, you. You should,
but I feel like
this is absolutely something to stretch out over multiple weeks.
But I feel like it would probably be more exciting if, like, let's say, during Heyman's promo, Goldberg pops in. You know, like that surprise element of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
You gotta have,
and then that would still build ratings for next week, like, especially if they say that he's going to be here next week as well.
Yeah. You gotta have half the time, you gotta have stretch it out, build up, so that people will tune in next week, and half the time, you gotta have unexpected surprise,
mm-hmm.
so it happens often enough that people are like, oh, I gotta tune in, because there might be an unexpected surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like WWE leans a little too heavily on the stretch this out a bunch of weeks, and doesn't mess with the surprises.
Granted, we have, like, this weird luxury where we get 3 weeks before pay-per-view now.
Yeah. And that's absolutely some our fault, because, you know, we'll be like, da-da-da was at the airport in the city where Raw's filming tonight. Right.
So now it's like, well, we might as well not even try to keep something like Goldberg a secret.
Right.
Right.
So, as much as I would like to wish for those days, like, Batista was the last time it feels like they really tried for it, and we screwed that up.
I mean, they were able to keep, like, AJ Styles mostly a surprise. I mean, we knew he signed to the company.
We knew he signed to the company.
But there was no, like, AJ signings.
And Royal Rumble was in, like, 2 weeks. So it was like, they really should do this. So it's either he's going to debut at the Rumble.
Right.
Or he's going to be on NXT.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'm fine with either.
We got that. And then the Dudleys was probably, like, the biggest surprise in a while, I think.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't really.
But I can't
think of any others off the top of my head.
But with this Goldberg thing happening,
mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about, like, guy who's the biggest name that's never been in the WWE. And it was Sting for years and years and years. And then after Sting was AJ Styles, and then AJ Styles, and now it's, like, probably Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Like, but who is the biggest name that you never thought you would see again?
Like who, the biggest name I would never see in WWE?
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be Nakamura, to be honest with you.
No. Because Nakamura's in WWE.
No. I mean, like, if I, like, thinking now.
Right.
Which are the ones what felt like the least likely that would ever come here?
Yeah, that's not what I'm asking.
Okay.
I'm saying, who is, like, you're sitting here, and you're like, because Goldberg's a big, like, I genuinely never thought I'd see Goldberg again. Like, I thought Goldberg was come and done. I thought he had no interest. Like, I thought I'd never see Goldberg.
Okay,
again.
So you're
Ultimate
talking
Ultimate Warrior was a big, like, I never thought I'd see Ultimate Warrior.
I like your chances on that one.
He was a big, I never thought I'd see Ultimate
Sorry,
Warrior again.
Little dark, I know.
Like,
so you're thinking, like, former WWE or WCW guys,
mm-hmm.
that we,
the biggest name that you never thought you'd see again. Because to me, that was Goldberg for a long time.
I mean, for a while, it was Brock.
Yeah.
I don't know who would be that now.
Because
No. No, I got one.
Well, see, as much as I hate to admit it, like, Hogan's probably going to show up again.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like one I'm thinking of is pretty obvious now. It's Punk.
You know, the things that we always talk about, like, Punk will come back. Like, it'll be a few years, but Punk can't stay away.
But out of everyone, because, you know, everyone else that has come and gone through whatever circumstance, you know, we're like, okay, it might take a lot for them to come back, but eventually they probably would.
Mm-hmm.
But the more and more we get removed from it, the more and more you hear of, you know, the kind of the bad blood and everything, you're like, out of everybody, Punk seems to be the least likely to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying he's not going to, or there's not a chance that he might.
And as far as, like, still, the biggest name to have left and felt unresolved.
Yes.
Punk feels like, obviously, that biggest feel.
Is it too soon for me to also vote for Paige? Like, she's still technically with the company, but it feels like she's pretty much done. Especially with this weird, like, surgery issue going on. Like, I don't know all the details because, honestly, WWE hasn't cared enough to really put her on their TV shows before she was injured and when she was in decent standing with the company. Now, why am I supposed to care about what WWE thinks of her? Because Paige, clearly they don't care about her.
Paige is like the beginning of this generation of wrestlers that is just flat out younger than me. You know?
Sure.
Like we've had a lot of people who like are kind of
around the same,
are around the same age as me, or, you know, okay, they might be younger than me, but they've had more experience and they know what they're doing, kind of thing. But Paige is the first one where I feel like this is the foolish youngsters not sure being able to get it together.
Like when Emma was like detained for trying to steal, like, or accidentally stealing an iPhone case.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Paige seems, her situation seems to be a little bit more severe than that. She's been suspended again. Not sure if her first suspension had ended yet. But she is fast-tracking her way out of this company. I'm telling you, like, I feel like this is maybe her way out of the no-compete clause. Maybe she had a conversation with the lawyer, and the lawyer's like, it doesn't seem likely we'll be able to get out of it. And then she gets suspended again, gets her second strike. And a lot of other talent do typically, like, it's, I feel like it's been a really long time since we've had someone reach their second strike.
Orton,
but his was pretty spaced out.
Yeah.
I mean,
the last bada bing bada boom like this was Evan Bourne.
Yeah, clearly. What was it, the pseudo weed or whatever it was
called?
I don't
remember what it was.
But that's basically what it was, like synthetic weed.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you've got Paige's family who can't shut up about it. I understand, like, they don't want people dragging their daughter's name in the mud, even though she's been doing a fine job of that herself. But in situations like this, you gotta know you're not helping.
I wonder, like, it almost feels like this attitude of, like, yeah, McMahons, we too are a wrestling dynasty.
Yeah.
Like, and, I mean, nobody in the wrestling world, no family, has the say or the sway that the McMahons do on the direction that wrestling goes.
Right.
Like, the Harts might be number two.
Eh. I don't...
Just out of, like, sheer respect for the legacy.
Right.
As far as, like, this is a family that has a say in wrestling still. Right.
I mean, Bret Hart will complain about everything, but it's not to the point where, like, the culture or the way things are done are changed at all.
No.
Because of it. And if Vince has strong feelings about something, things are going to get changed.
Okay, well, yeah, the McMahon family is the top tier, far above...
By a lot.
King of the Mountain.
The Hart family's, like, still in, like, base camp.
Down, yeah, no, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no close second place.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
Sure is in the Carter family.
Yeah, it's like,
it's a Dixie joke. Even... She's going to get sued by Billy Corgan. Go on.
You can't finish one story. You've been jumping stories like crazy here. We got so many things to discuss.
Sorry.
I still have Goldberg thoughts.
I like tangential jokes.
My point is...
And McMahon controls everything. Duh.
Paige was... Like, think about what... The amount of investment that was poured into Paige. Paige was inaugural women's champion on NXT.
Yeah.
Paige never lost. Paige also retired it.
Right.
So she left NXT walking out, which I'm not going to say hasn't been done since, but is not...
No, it hasn't been done since. Because I mean, she's the only one that held that and the Divas Championship at the same time, and that's why she had to give it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we haven't seen that since.
Won the Divas Championship on her first night on Raw.
Right.
Was the heir apparent to AJ.
Yeah.
With AJ probably even because of the whole Punk thing. To spearhead the Divas Revolution. She was the caricature that, like, we were wrapping this vision of take back this Divas division around.
Right.
And to go from that to this...
I mean, some would say that the Bella Twins started the Divas Revolution, and those people are Michael Cole. And Michael Cole alone. But it was... See, I know this is something that we've covered a lot, but it still... It bugs me. They're like, well, the Divas... Or the Bellas were having a match, and then the whole, like, give Divas a chance thing started. I was like... And they're like, it's because of the Bellas. They want to see more of the Bellas. We're like, no. No, okay. That's not it at all. It's in spite of them.
But the thing is, the WWE's got a shape of history.
Right.
And they're not going to use Paige now.
Sure, and they can't, man, not going to use AJ either.
Like, yeah.
Right.
So the things that we would point to, be like, hey, it's this. So it's literally the Bellas are left.
Right. I mean, you're not wrong. You know, especially, again, like, it all comes down to, like, they invested a lot of money in the Bellas, you know?
Yeah.
They've got, what, two reality shows? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. What are they doing with Total Divas now? Like,
I think Nikki is still involved in that, because I feel like Total Divas is more, like, of...
what we're doing on the road.
Right. And since half the Bellas are no longer on the road, then, you know, Bree's probably only on Total Bellas. I'm assuming. I don't know where this whole e-power structure goes. I don't know how deep the conspiracy goes, Joel.
I mean, we could do a whole side quest marveling of just how reality shows spin off of other reality shows.
Please don't. I don't have that much room in my brain
for this. The exclamation point VH1 combo of this to that to this.
Please don't.
Just is mind-boggling.
Please don't. I know that you have, like, this whole tree webbed out in your brain with all this stuff, but I really don't want
to. My point is it's mind-boggling.
It is. So, Goldberg. You said you had more Goldberg thoughts.
Yes. Are you taking issue with the fact that this is a match clearly set up to promote a video game?
I mean... It doesn't surprise me, so I guess that in a way that means it doesn't really bother me.
It seems like lots of people, everybody is pointing this out like they're the first one to acknowledge this. When right. I feel like, yeah, and I'm fine with that.
I mean, for a while, every female match was made just so they can promote Total Divas.
Yeah.
You know? That was the only reason why even Marie ever was on Raw. So they would have something put on the reality show. Have her, like, some reason why she's traveling with the rest of them.
Well, and then there's like, complaints about how these guys aren't being used to put over full-time guys. I'm like, I don't want...
I'm okay with them facing each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to have two separate... Survivor Series build-ups where it's like only half the people
going to,
are here. Where
clearly the idea is they're just going to make the part-time guy look strong.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just have... Now, again, was Goldberg and Brock Lesnar really a rematch that we were all clamoring to see?
I'm clamoring to see it.
Yeah, but we just recently went through all the WrestleManias And WrestleMania 20 was, like, the hardest one to get through, mostly because of Brock and Goldberg.
But there is...
That match feels like it's 45 minutes
long. I know, but when you watch that match, there is such a... It goes beyond a lack of caring. It goes beyond a going like a going through the motions situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is actual, almost palpable anger and disappointment
aimed at these two guys.
Aimed at, not just aimed at these two guys, aimed back at the fans from these two guys.
Okay.
Like, this match is... It feels like this match is being put on to upset people.
Right.
The emotions made in this match are a visceral, intentional attack on the enjoyment of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it.
Right.
There is... Because there is booing towards these guys, that has nothing to do... with the match, with the build-up, with the characters.
Remind me why fans were so anti-Goldberg at that time.
Goldberg was leaving, too. They were both out of there after that.
Like, it was, like, the end of his contract?
I guess. I okay. just, that was the
like,
whole
I, thing. Like, I know, for a fact why they were mad at Brock. Like, the reason why they were so angry at Goldberg kind of lose me.
Yeah, I think that was...
I didn't know if, like, the contract situation was known by the fans or that his run in WWE was that lackluster.
My understanding was that was the end for both of them.
Okay.
Both of them were out after that. And we knew that both of them were out after that. And it was a big, what is the point of this match?
Mm-hmm.
And we know there's absolutely no fallout because they're both gone after this.
See, here's... I feel like WWE was probably not happy with either of them.
Yeah.
Over that. Because that's why, like, in the end,
like in the
Stone Cold stuns both of them. But it can't be, like, I'm gonna stomp all over your kayfabe.
Okay.
Taking a stunner can't be that uncomfortable, I don't think. You know, maybe taking the bump maybe is probably more...
No, stunner's a great move because it's a fairly safe...
Sure.
...thing. We have broken down the stunner as one of the right. best finishers of all time.
Sure, and I feel like the only thing that's at danger is maybe Stone Cold's tailbone.
Yeah.
If they really wanted to get back at these guys, put in like your stiffest worker you've got, you know, like or the guys that you send in to do your dirty work.
They
like the Acolytes.
They are both the stiffest worker they got. They put each guy against the stiffest guy they could, which was the other guy. Those are like stiff workers with number one and number two.
Meh. Again, put either member of the APA in there as the guest referee, and those guys would have a bad time. Now, again, these are both like world-class athletes, especially Brock Lesnar, who would pretty much demolish any human being in the ring. But
the thing is, it didn't feel, at least at the time.
Give them the Dudleys on their first night treatment.
At the time, it did not feel like WWE or the McMahons were mad at Brock Goldberg.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure,
because
like,
if they were, Vince is petty enough to make Hornswoggle beat Brock Lesnar on his way out.
Sure.
Like,
and see to it that Brock would follow suit.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's not... The issue. The issue is not.
Yeah, you're right. That's definitely way more how like Vince would get even with somebody.
Yeah, this is not an issue between WWE and Brock and Goldberg. This is an issue between the fans and Brock and Goldberg.
Yeah.
And so, and because of that,
Do you think it's been long enough? And do you think Toronto would like let them off the hook?
Yes.
If it was in New York, then they would just be begging for it again.
Because there was...
Aside from it being 16 years. No, it's been less than that.
We were mad at Brock for years.
Oh, sure.
Just on principle, we were mad at Brock for years. We would...
Because he was supposed to be the guy after The Rock.
And
and instead of that, we got Cena.
Yeah. And so we laughed at him in football.
Yeah.
We laughed at him in... MMA, when he won the title, we complained about how, oh, he didn't, he
had easy fights and got title push too fast. It's not real. It's basically just wrestling. You know, he lost the title. Yeah, we knew it. Ha. Huh? All of this constant, he can't hack it, He made the biggest mistake of his life. He could have been set for life doing WWE. We're mad. Signing. Brock's coming back!
Right.
Hooray!
Because I remember I was just like, everyone was like super excited that Brock's coming back. I'm like, why? You guys were like...
Cena has to cut a promo following the biggest match in years
right.
after WrestleMania 28, and he is drowned out by We Want Brock chants.
Yeah.
So, we can forgive just as easily and just as finicky as we can be angry.
Right. Because I'm saying, like, there wasn't really a whole lot of anger towards Goldberg after the fact.
No.
You know, or at least, you know, anything that we kind of carried over from years later. But it was more like, well, you know, you had this great run in WCW. Like, you had, like, this, you know, this track record that's way longer than Brock ever did in his initial run in the WWE. And you know what? You tried to make it work in WWE. Clearly it wasn't working. So, you know, we're not happy that you're leaving, but we get it.
Well, in the match that they had, again, the boos weren't because this is a bad match. The boos were mad at
the situation.
The behind the scenes, yeah. You know, things that are going on. So it feels like now going into this match is like unfinished business. Mm-hmm. We need to actually see, like, these guys go at it.
We have to have a match where both guys actually give a crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And aren't mad at the fans for being mad at them.
What if they pull, like, an exact carbon copy of that WrestleMania 20 match? Just so they can finally get that, like, final, like, one-up, like, yeah... You earned it. There you go. This is what you get for what you guys did for us like 12 years ago.
I mean, I don't think...
That would be a great long con.
And that's
guys,
why...
we got you so excited and you cheered for this match. And you got the exact same match. Congratulations.
I'm sorry. I'm excited about it.
I wouldn't sell any video games, but it would just be such just petty revenge.
I'm excited about the novelty of it. I'm just...
Oh, sure.
Like... And yeah, I would rather do this than have to be like, all right, let's figure out a reason for Goldberg to face AJ.
Yeah.
We got it. Like, that's the thing is, like, you have this with the, like, it's here to promote a video game. Yeah, but you also have the match from, you know, 15 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You have this ready-made story. Here it is. Here's everything you need.
Yeah.
You just need Paul Heyman to cut a couple promos to sell it, and you just need Goldberg to come out and do his heavy breathing.
I like how we don't entirely know the timeline. We've now given three different dates as to when WrestleMania 20 happened. I said 16 years ago, then I said 12, and then now you just said 15.
Whatever.
If
you hadn't have said it with such confidence, I wouldn't even sworn it was a WrestleMania 20 match.
No, it was, just for the simple fact that we had just watched it, and it was such a chore of a show to watch.
Because that was the nine-hour one?
It felt like it,
whatever
yeah.
it was. It was like their first,
and I, yeah, and I remember it was
Mondo Supersized.
Yeah. And I remember it was in New York.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of ready, like, thanks to SmackDown, I'm kind of ready for Survivor Series to go ahead and happen. Like, there's a couple things I want to see in Hell in a Cell, but, like... All right, I'm already looking past it because there's always when we get to around this time, around SummerSlam or Survivor Series time, you are always a little bit I don't know if nervous is the right word, but there's this feeling where you're just like, I don't know if they're going to have a traditional Survivor Series match, and I know you love Survivor Series matches.
Yeah.
Now we get three. Like, how, like, I, like, as soon as I heard, like, oh, they're going to have one, Joel's going to be happy about that. Oh, they're going to have two. Joel's going to love this. And the three, it's like, Joel's head's going to explode.
So, not to bum you out.
Oh, great.
But Joel is not happy about
it. Really?
This.
Okay. All right. What? Why?
Because we're having three.
And it's like SmackDown versus Raw.
I hate SmackDown versus Raw.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's why I'm not happy about it.
It's like... The obvious and perfect catalyst for this.
I know it is.
Like, what else would they do?
But it just... The whole, like, I'm on the better brand thing, I really hate that the guy, the wrestlers...
Would you... Okay.
...care about that.
Would you feel better about it if they there was only one of that... One of the SmackDown versus Raw traditional Survivor Series match?
Yeah.
Like, if there was only one of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Rather than three.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Like, if it was that, and then it was, like, a...
So it's not so much...
Raw okay. Survivor Series and a SmackDown Survivor Series?
So it's not
Series?
So much that catalyst, but the fact there's three of them.
I mean, I'm happy that there are three of them, because just because I like that style and that setup of match.
I feel like the tag team one's a tad ridiculous.
It is. It's going to be ridiculous. Yeah. I do not think that's going to
be. That's the one where I'm like, that one's not going to be great.
But I am, while I am excited about the fact that we're having three Survivor Series elimination matches, mm-hmm. I am frustrated by the fact that so much of the card is going to be full of people fighting for brand pride.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Because theoretically, all of these guys are going for championships.
Right.
And if you wanted to delve more about, like, okay, you know...
I'm assuming, like, the major championships are probably going to have their own matches at Survivor Series. I would assume.
Yeah, they are. But, yeah. Like, you're going to have people who are like, yeah, I would be going for that championship. But first, brand pride. I've got a rep for SmackDown. Can't focus on that title.
Well, yeah. I mean, clearly, like, they're probably... or at least they should come up with some other incentive to get the heels to agree to do this, you know?
Yeah, and if they
they've got so many heels that they're going to have to infuse in these matches that it's going to start feeling a little convoluted after a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
And is it going to be like, all right, a bunch of SmackDown faces versus a bunch of Raw heels
right.
on this one, and then, oh, all the, you know, in the tag team one, it's all Raw faces and SmackDown heels.
Right.
What a coincidence.
So, like, basically, out of all the teams, you put exactly, like, how many faces and heels are on each mm-hmm. each side. And whichever has the most faces is probably going to be the one that wins the majority of the Survivor Series matches.
Stretch of a kayfabe here.
That, I see what it is.
So, yeah.
Well, way to already crap on that one.
I was already upset about that.
We haven't even gotten to Hell in a Cell yet, and you're already... I'm so excited to talk about these two,
if
just because I wanted to see your reaction, and as soon as I started talking about it, you're just like, yeah, that look in your face, you're like, ugh. I'm like, well, all right, I'm going to continue as if you haven't reacted to it yet.
If they would do something where they would imply why... being on the better brand is better for the wrestlers on there.
Mm-hmm.
If the brand with higher ratings paid the wrestlers better. Something like that. Doesn't need to be explicit. But, like, I understand why Stephanie, Mick Foley, Daniel Bryan, and Shane are concerned about beating the other brand.
Sure.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
And with the... when it was WCW versus WWF... there were real-life stakes there.
Sure.
So they're like, this is where the big boys play. This is the real wrestling brand. That felt real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it was. Because, like, yeah, these guys are theoretically supposed to be fighting for the championship, but I also know that they're genuinely fighting for their jobs
mm-hmm.
because if their brand is determined to be the least popular with the fans, it goes away. They're all fired.
Right.
So, if that was somehow, at least in storyline, hanging over the heads of the wrestlers,
mm-hmm.
okay, I can understand why we would want to see that. But it's not, and it's just bragging rights. And, like, I don't really care about bragging rights.
Sure. But, it's, I don't know. Survivor Series, Bragging Rights, okay, the Bragging Rights was a pay-per-view created for this purpose. And,
right.
And again, it's just like, well, you know, it's like the same thing with the issues that we had with the Universal Championship. We're creating it, it's prestigious because we're telling you it's prestigious.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you need to win out at Bragging Rights? Because we're telling you it's important, you know?
Right.
Survivor Series, it already has a little bit of lore to it. You know, with the traditional Survivor Series match, and it's like the 30th anniversary, I think, of this time or this year. So that adds to it. And yeah, the more I think about it, having three of them is a bit much. So, like, I, you know,
well, I don't
the idea of having...
But you gotta tip the scales eventually somehow. I mean, they're all SmackDown versus Raw.
With three of them, they have a standard one, mm-hmm. they have a women's one, and they have a tag team one, right?
Right.
So Superstars, Women's, and Tag Team are the... Mm-hmm. So that I like that. I like that there are three separate ones, not just like 15 guys in, you know,
sure.
three separate matches kind of thing. And I, you know, and I don't know, like, are they going to have a 5v5 in all of them? Or maybe one of them will be like a 4v4 or
yeah,
something.
I mean, I would be kind of okay if they just decided to shorten up on the tag teams, because that's a lot of bodies. And I don't know if SmackDown has that many tag teams. We'll see. I mean, I'm sure they do. I'm just making a joke.
Yeah, but are they going to be like, these two guys are a tag team. They've been it forever. Not 2 weeks.
Formed last week, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It would be interesting. But talking about Hell in a Cell, we should probably talk about the first ever women's championship in Hell in a Cell.
Yes.
Okay, first of all, excited that it's happening.
Yeah.
I'm excited that they're having a women's match with a stipulation at all,
mm-hmm.
you know? Because I don't think we've seen one since Lay Cool had, like, a tables match, like, forever ago.
Yeah.
One
where the stipulation wasn't falling into something.
Sure. So, falling into some sort of liquid that yeah. would be revealing on, you know, whatever clothing they had. I'm excited that it's happening. I'm not thrilled for the reason that, and it's something I've also seen on the internet. And again, it's one of those things where it's probably just a dumb hair to split, you know, and should just, you know, you should be just happy with, you know, the fact that we're getting this. But so far the reasoning is, guys, it's never been done. Let's make history. Like that's kind of the reason. Like, the feud sells itself.
Yeah.
All you have to do is lean into it a little. Like, these two female competitors have hated each other since they ran into each other in NXT. You know, since they turned on each other in NXT. So you play that up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's not hard. But the way that they do it is, like, they're kind of... I'm not saying that, like, they're not being buddy-buddy about it. But they kind of sort of joined forces a little bit with Rusev. Like, that's kind of weird how they did that. That opening segment.
Yeah. I like the fact that they are acknowledging that they're making history.
Sure.
They're
leaning into it a lot, though.
I don't like so much that that's the reason that they're doing it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm with you that's a very, very thin hair to split.
Like, that is, right. Because it's what me and you talk about with, like, what the purpose of Hell in a Cell is. It's
right.
It's supposed to be the end of the feud where it just gets so... There's so many other forces going on. There's so many other, you know, shenanigans going on. And the feud gets so heated that the only way that they can settle this is if they're in a giant metal cube,
mm-hmm.
you know? And they're not really playing that up. And honestly, the feud between Charlotte and Sasha Banks deserve that sort of ending.
And this is, and we have run the feud to the point where this is the mm-hmm. natural ending to this.
Right.
And there have been lots of interferences. There's been a lot of Dana Brooke stuff. There's been a lot of mm-hmm. Ric Flair stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy.
Sure. But they haven't like brought this, any of that up.
No. And that's,
matter of fact, I haven't seen Dana Brooke alongside with Charlotte since the Raw where they had the main event.
There is so much... there is so much to draw from to make this feel like it's worthy of being in the cell.
Yeah.
If they would just
draw from
it. And that's the issue. Yeah. That's really the issue is
and
that...
And honestly, it could have... They could have had things get more and more heated between the two of them because they've got, a 3 weeks to play around with, you know?
Yeah.
They could have, like, come out on fire against each other this past Monday Night Raw. You know, to where we get to the point next Monday where they finally were like, all right, we've got a way to settle this, and it's Hell in a Cell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I understand, like, because I think, what was it, Sasha just kind of laid down the challenge. It's okay, but again, yeah. it's done because they want to, you know, make history.
Honestly, like...
I think about when Triple H and Undertaker were going at each other the second time.
Right.
And the whole thing was Undertaker was like, I won, but I won via disgrace. I need a good, clean, strong victory over Triple H, nah, I'm good. And he, you know, kneeled him into it, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, until finally, and Triple H is the one that's like, yes, we will have this, but we will have it in Hell in a Cell.
Sure. Kind of like that progression.
And the way that he presented that, and especially because we had Hell in a Cell as a pay-per-view now, so it was like, okay, that's just that thing now. So to be, like, that was the first time in a very long time it felt like, we are doing this because this is literally the only way to settle this once and for all.
Kind of like the Universal Championship.
Yeah.
Like it's gotten heated with them. So,
and
put it in Hell in a Cell.
The way that Triple H built up that promo, almost beat for beat, emotion for emotion, I want to see Sasha come out with that.
Right.
You know, breakdown of like, yes, we will do this one last time. We will solve it once and for all. This is what needs to happen.
Yeah, because Hell in a Cell needs to be like that end-all, be-all match.
Because, and I haven't really felt that since the Triple H Undertaker Hell in a Cell match.
Right.
Because all the other ones were either on the pay-per-view, so they had to happen, or at WrestleMania this past year, where it's like, yeah, that's really just a shank and jump off of it. Yeah. Like, it doesn't feel like this is worthy of a cell.
I will say this. The Women's Championship Hell in a Cell match feels way more necessary than the United States Hell in a Cell match.
Yes, it
that
does.
One, that's the one where it feels like, okay, you guys are just dipping too much, you're using it too much.
I mean, that's one argument. The other argument is like,
it doesn't feel necessary.
They have the cell. If they're going to name a pay-per-view after it anyway.
Sure.
Because yeah,
that's why I use it.
I was of the argument in the past that they should just go full tilt and everything is in a cell this time.
Right.
This match, everything is in a cell.
Man, that would make so many more intense Santino matches over the years.
That's just like, if you're going to name the whole pay-per-view after it.
Kind of like Elimination Chamber, you know? Kind of like how, you know, the rematch between Punk and Rock. I was like, you know what? Especially because, like, the Shield was such a thing at that point where they kept interfering and kept, you know, attacking Rock. I was like, well, a way around it would be Elimination Chamber, you know? It'd be like Hell in a Cell, but with pods.
Yeah.
That would never fail.
So, I don't know. I mean, yeah, SmackDown has been solidly 2-for-2 on their exclusive pay-per-views. And we actually haven't talked about New Mercy yet. We need to run that down real quick.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But, like, and Raw's only had the one. But I feel like Raw is...
It felt so much more, like, kind of paint by the numbers of what we're used to as far as pay-per-views.
They're giving Raw the big ones, and they're bringing out the old generic names for the SmackDown ones.
Mm-hmm. So Raw's basically getting the gimmick.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Raw's being all shackled to all of the gimmicks.
Right, and SmackDown is in new territory for them, where, like, we can just do what we want.
Well, SmackDown is like, okay, we're making just episodes of SmackDown,
right,
but we get 3 hours, and we get to say their big deals.
Right.
Which, you know, makes them more interesting, makes them like, all right, we've got
to... And, like, in SmackDown is trying, and you can see them, like, literally trying to break free from the typical... Break free from Raw at all, completely, you know? And it started with, like, No Mercy, with starting with the main event, which... Which was fine. It was an interesting way to start the show. I don't really have any problems with it. I have more of a problem with Randy and Bray ending the show and not Ziggler and Miz.
Yeah.
Because that one had, like, you know, you can, you know, debate on which was the better match or whatever, but there was more at stake.
I think by the end of the night, it was pretty much a consensus, like, yeah, that was the wrong call.
Yeah, I think even Daniel Bryan said that on the No Mercy.
Yeah, and I'm very much willing to bet that there was debate about that.
Sure, yeah.
And
now that we saw the finish of No Mercy with Luke Harper coming back, like, that was a big surprise.
And that was probably the tipping point in the decision.
Yeah.
But
they could just end the show on that.
Mm-hmm. But you're like, he could have come back in the middle of the show, mm-hmm. and then we still could have had the real main event feel match.
I basically came down to somebody had a really good pitch for it, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, like, I really enjoyed No Mercy.
I did too.
I thought the AJ win was a good heel win.
Yeah.
With, you know, him tapping out to, you know, both guys at the same time, but that didn't end the match, and he came back and, you know, got the win.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a really good heel win. I mean, really, the only other thing that I could think of that really stood out to me, mostly because we were listening to the debate at the same time, and that kind of took some of my, like, it took most of my attention for the rest of the night, for better or worse.
I was able to focus on both.
Okay, we both know my attention span isn't great, okay? So, not that I'm saying, like, I'm not saying that it was, you know, bad to do that or anything, because, you know, it's your house, you guys do what you want. But my attention was split, and that's not an easy task for me. But no, like, Ziggler and Miz was, you know, I felt like probably was the match of the night.
Yeah, Ziggler and Miz was the match of the night.
And
a lot of that came from the build-up leading into it. It came out with such a head start that it didn't have to be a great match to still be great match of the night. And it just happened to be a pretty solid match, especially for both of those guys. Like, they both came out swinging. They both ended up, you know, putting on a good, solid, strong match. There was a little bit heavy on the shenanigans at some point there with Maryse and then with Spirit Squad coming out.
At least they kind of did it in rapid succession. Like, they got it all done at once.
Mm, but that's exactly it. It's like, but it kind of came, here's the block, that we do this, here's the throw them out, and then we're back to... And there were a couple of near falls where I caught my breath, which, as I've said, that's all I ever want from wrestling, is I want that catch a breath at a near fall. If that happens, you did your job, the match worked.
Right.
So,
yeah,
good job for those guys. And
Ziggler doesn't have to leave, so that's always a plus. Was there anything else in the show that you wanted to...
And I think that we're coming out of that match with a very rejuvenated interest in the title.
Right.
And, like, and that's 98% Miz's credit. Like, you know, I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Ziggler hasn't done anything with the title yet.
Sure.
That's been Miz... With the
Daniel Bryan thing,
Miz talking about, you know, talking up the importance of being the Intercontinental Champion. Miz talking about this is day whatever of the never-ending reign. All of that stuff. Miz is the one that's really built it up. But we do come out of that match with a new Intercontinental Champion, mm-hmm. and a new, like, oh, what does this mean now for this title?
Right.
So I'm looking forward to that.
And now they've got a little over a month to play around with,
mm-hmm.
because they get basically the long wait, because I don't believe there's anything.
I don't think they have anything until Survivor Series.
So, now I feel like that's when SmackDown takes a page out of NXT's playbook, because they always have such long periods of time between the takeovers.
Yeah.
You know, so they'll have title matches. You know, again, rarely do they have title changes, but every once in a while, you know, you never know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really intrigued to see what SmackDown is going to do. Because honestly, like, you know, week in, week out, SmackDown has probably been the more compelling show.
It has been. I'm wondering, and this might be, or we'll find out in the upcoming weeks.
Sure.
But I'm worried that they won't be allowed to start promotion for Survivor Series until Hell in a Cell is over.
Daniel Bryan went ahead and laid the challenge for Survivor Series, like, mm-hmm. already. And, you know, we're still, I think, like 2 weeks now from Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
So
we'll see as it goes over these next two episodes of SmackDown how much they lean into, like, be sure and tune in November 20th.
Oh, sure, yeah. Probably a decent way to kind of fill time between now and then is probably figure out exactly who's on the team.
Yeah, you do have 3 different teams to fill.
Sure.
So you can do a lot with that. There's a lot for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I do think No Mercy is a pretty solid 2-for-2 as far as SmackDown exclusive pay-per-views.
Yeah, I'm comfortable saying that.
So, good job for them.
Yep. I don't know what is there to say about, like, TNA or whatever.
We're waiting.
Yeah, we're
waiting.
We're waiting. There's lawsuits being filed. Yeah. Restraining orders being filed. It doesn't look good with Billy Corgan in TNA right now. Mm. Whether or not that has any effect on the sale of the... Because apparently, you know, cause a lot of the reports are saying that the talent themselves would much rather Billy Corgan mm-hmm. to take over completely. And from what I understand, he's funded their last three rounds of tapes,
yeah.
of taping. And I'm assuming probably he funded, you know, Bound for Glory and these most recent rounds of taping. And the fact that he's suing TNA now doesn't bode well at all for, like, even more so than TNA was facing.
Maybe WWE will just buy the library in a bankruptcy sale.
They might.
Like, at this point, that's kind of... it goes to auction, I'm assuming.
I feel like at this point we could buy TNA. And still have plenty of money left over.
You might get sued.
Yeah.
Not gonna dip my toe in that water.
Yeah, you're right.
I do want to mention Hideo Tommy.
Yeah,
he's been injured.
Again, but this one doesn't... like. It's some sort of neck injury, but it's not severe enough to where he's going to be out of commission nearly as long as he was. Basically, it's to the point where he cannot continue with the Dusty Classic, but right. they have said that there's a possibility he'll be back around the time of NXT TakeOver Toronto,
which is November. I want to bring up something that somebody addressed on Squared Circle, and it's kind of been floating around in my head. I don't really have any strong, solidly formed opinions one way or the other here, so mm-hmm. I'm just kind of interested to hear your take. But if somebody's saying, basically, Hideo he's been injured twice now, fairly, I guess the injuries weren't close to each other, but he was injured pretty quickly after returning.
I mean, from what I understand, it was a house show, and it was, you know... it was against somebody that hasn't been doing it for too long.
Yeah, right, right.
Gave him a powerbomb.
And that's kind of the thing that the guy's bringing up is in both cases, it's Hideo getting hurt from somebody.
Right.
And is this a downfall or a flaw in the NXT strategy where you have these really talented, well-seasoned veterans coming in, but they got to go through the NXT route first?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're in this pool
against pretty green
with these fairly green guys.
But at the same time, it's one of those things where, like, well, the only way to really elevate these green guys is if they put them in the ring with, you know, heavily top
okay, but
guys.
Is Hideo Tommy having any time to
sure.
train this guy, or is he busy trying to learn English and learn mm-hmm. the WWE style? You know, he's learning just as much as these other guys.
Yeah.
He's just learning different things. And at the same time, is that his job so much? Because he is also trying to, you know, make a name for himself, move up to the main roster, that mm-hmm. kind of stuff.
Right.
And I just, thinking about what this guy has addressed, TNA has done this thing, as much as I love, not TNA, NXT.
Yes.
NXT has done this thing, as much as I enjoy watching NXT as an entity all on its own.
Mm-hmm.
As much as it's consistent for years now, for extended periods of time, years, it has been consistently the most consistently strongest thing that WWE has.
Right.
But at the same time, we have this weird thing where I don't get shocks or surprises about debuts. You think about something like Bayley, where you're like, yeah, about time
sure.
Bayley made it to the main roster. I wasn't as excited as I was expecting it and just kind of waiting for it to happen.
Yeah. Finn Balor was another one.
Yeah. You're just sitting there like, well, right. That's got to happen, no question.
Sure. And sometimes they're not very specific about it, but now we've gotten to the point where we basically expect at least one NXT call-up the day after WrestleMania.
Right.
You know?
And you have these guys who people are either coming up or you're flabbergasted that they haven't yet.
Right.
And you have guys like Like Samoa Joe, how much did Samoa Joe need to learn in NXT?
Right, and I feel like, again, like that's not so much him having to learn anything, but they basically used him as an asset to elevate NXT.
Right.
And but now it's at the point where you're like, well, how much further can he elevate it? It's pretty high now, thanks to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's one of those things where like, he's in the middle of a program right now. So does he come up as soon as that program's over, or what? Or is he okay with staying with NXT, just being like as we've kind of like pictured it, and it's kind of played out, is him being like the big bad guy at the end of the road?
Well, but we also have situations where it's time for you to go to the main roster, but there's not a spot on the main roster, and then
and then you get lost in the show.
Well, I think about like Enzo and Cass were the team in NXT. Like, unquestionably, they were the biggest highlight as far as mic work went.
Sure.
In that whole show.
Mm-hmm.
They were loved by the fans, constantly on the show, constantly being in main events on episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And they come up to Raw. It's a big deal. They do a lot of fun stuff. But after that initial, like, here we go, there's kind of nothing. Like, there's a little bit of floundering there.
Yeah.
And how much of it is because we're expecting big, great, amazing things,
mm-hmm.
because they already had big, great, amazing things under their belt that we've seen.
Right. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, all they can do now is kind of like go to Raw, not be used properly, and all of us be disappointed.
Well, part of what is so amazing about Enzo and Big Cass is that we sat and watched the development. We watched this terrible character idea.
Right.
And we watched it get beat and being like, this is where NXT's falling off the rails. And we watched these guys sculpt this into something that works. They are the NXT New Day.
Sure.
Because if New Day, sure, like, none of the New Day history happened,
mm-hmm.
and next Monday on Raw, these three guys showed up doing this New Day stick, you're like, it's terrible. This doesn't work at all.
Right, but it's...
You lost your mind.
But it's the fact of where they've come from here.
Right, because you got to watch the journey and the crap and the, like, molding the crap into gold.
Mm-hmm.
That makes it work and makes them exciting, makes them silly and fun, and that's not... The Raw audience did not get that with Enzo and Big Cass.
Right.
And I know that there was a lot of, like, people who knew about them coming up and were excited about it. But you got to imagine that a heavy chunk of those guys were, like, you know, didn't watch the whole thing, just got the buddy being like, hey, you should check out this Enzo and Big Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the chant to say. Here's the catchphrases to quote along with.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't know if people have that conversation.
But... No, not that word for word, sure. But, like, you definitely have people who don't watch NXT on a weekly basis be like, this, you should care about this.
Right.
You know, when unfamiliar music hits and they're like, what's going on? You're like, it's an exciting thing. Then there's automatically that.
Right. It's kind of like how I've been with Nakamura before he came to NXT.
Mm-hmm.
And then it happened. They're like, now it's like, right, guys? Like, we're all on board with this now. Like, even again, like, the last TakeOver special where, you know, just his entrance alone got, you know, two of our friends that aren't really wrestling fans, they'll watch it occasionally, and they don't really remember much about Nakamura from the Dallas show.
Right.
And all of a sudden, they're on board again.
And some of this comes down to the, you know, Full Sail, everything gets over in Full Sail.
Oh, sure.
Issue. Which I'm saying, yeah, is a sort of issue at this point.
It is.
Like, it's... And not even a, like, you know, how dare those fans cheer this way.
Sure. No, right.
But in a, these wrestlers can't figure out what works and what doesn't work now.
And I mean, like, that's...
They're supposed to be developing and cultivating
stronger but at the same wrestling time, personalities. That's also the... That's what the live events are for, you know? And even the ones that don't necessarily... you know, tour around the country or other countries, even the ones that just tour around Florida, you know, a lot of them are far enough where it's not the Full Sail crowd. So it's enough of a, different dichotomy to where they get a more honest reaction, I guess is the best way to say it. You know, so they still have that, but again, Full Sail Full Sail's pretty much tainted now.
Things get over with me watching the show because the crowd is loving it.
Okay. Like, what's an example? Like, a current, like, example. So you say No Way Jose, I'm going to punch you in the mouth. How dare you?
No, but, I mean, End Zone Big Cats is a good example of that. Like, the fact that people were chanting along, you know.
I mean, well, yeah, and it also helped that the guys turned out pretty all right.
Yeah.
You know, in the end. Some guys, that doesn't always happen.
I mean, Ty Dillinger is another good example.
Okay, I'm going to punch in the mouth. Ty Dillinger's a perfect 10. I mean, he's incredible. Like, granted, okay, yes. Even when he first started doing the perfect 10 thing, which doesn't seem like it was that too long ago, they were on board immediately. You know? It took me a little bit to kind of, you know, really get into it. And then I actually, like, saw, like, kind of paid attention to, like, his antics and how kind of brilliant they were.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm like, all right, nah, this guy's got something.
No, he does. And I'm not wanting to undercut these people as untalented. I think all of them have, you know, good qualities. But it's so much fun in Full Sail to pop for something.
And I pop for everything, it seems like.
And I want to be a part of that.
Sure.
Like, it's fun to watch. It's fun to, this is all awesome. And Raw has been this, like, next morning hangover on more than one occasion where you're like, oh, I feel bad about cheering for that. That wasn't good at all.
Right. Or not even that much. We're just like, you know, you're anticipating something and it's going to be great. And it comes out and it's, you know, it's not bad. But the crowd doesn't care one way or the other. They're like, all right. And it's one of the things where you almost to the point where you have to reevaluate. He's like, all right, is it really that good?
Well, and it's not. I can even see stuff that's happening, like Asuka's mask. And you're like, I don't know if this is going to play.
Right.
Like, it's awesome. Holy crap, it's awesome. And you're like,
sure.
This might be weird.
But Asuka's one of those talents where, like, okay, the mask might not play as well. Like, her interest might not play well on a large scale as, you know, with the regular casual Raw viewer.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get her in a match and she's annihilating someone, it kind of doesn't matter anymore. You know what I mean? Like, she's good. She's that good in the ring, you know?
Yeah, but
And that doesn't work for everybody, you know?
Yeah, it's like, I think presentation is such a...
It is an important part.
I mean, you know? And I go back to, like, New Day was three of the most talented guys.
Sure.
And they sucked for a long time.
They did.
Like, let's not forget original...
Sure, but again, those guys weren't exactly putting on classic matches back then either.
Yeah, but you don't get a classic match when you go to Raw. Your first match on Raw isn't a classic.
Sure. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Your tenth match on Raw isn't a classic. It's good,
mm-hmm.
but you don't get a classic match until the next pay-per-view at the earliest.
Right.
And part of that issue is, you know, I've seen these guys at NXT as champions. They are title-holding champions.
I'm sitting here. I'm sorry. I know you're continuing with your point, but I'm sitting here trying to poke holes in your statement about, like, you know, your first night on Raw isn't. But I'm sitting here like, Finn Balor had a really good first night on Raw.
It's not a blanket.
Oh, sure.
Finn Balor had a great. Kevin Owens' first thing was against John Cena. And that was, I mean, he didn't, his
first, well, yeah.
His stuff
first,
on Raw was mostly talking.
But his first moment is pretty huge.
Yeah, like, okay. there are some people who made big splashes and capitalized properly.
Fair enough.
Finn Balor did not capitalize properly. He has to go home now. But, like, he should have. Like, they were, you know. But you have these guys who, again, were champions. They were title-holding champions. I have seen them at the top level of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then to come here and be like, okay, they're mid-cards. You treat them as mid-cards because they've now graduated.
But again, like not everybody that's going to come up through NXT is going to be a top-tier guy. you know?
Well, and they don't need to be. Apollo Crews was never a champion.
Right. Well, I mean, like, you know, Bo Dallas, who was at the top of NXT, then now he's lower card. You know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even call him mid card, you know? Because, you know, you still have roles to fill.
Yeah.
And not everybody is going that was, you know, a top tier guy in NXT is going to translate to a top tier guy on Raw. And I understand that. You know, but it does seem like there's some guys where they're just like, you're not even trying anymore. Like, how? What's the point of having Neville and Sami Zayn tag team together on Raw? You know, it's yeah. like Neville hasn't even put on Raw the past couple weeks. These guys who have top tier potential.
Yeah, these guys come with such a big splash.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing next for them.
Right, yeah, especially with Neville.
Mm-hmm. Neville's a good example. Sami Zayn,
they had, thanks to Kevin Owens, like, you know, in that ready-made feud.
Yeah.
You know, he had some legs to stand on. Neville, you know, he had that initial, you know, thing that the King of the Ring run that he had against Wade Barrett, and then a little bit of a feud against him after the fact. But then from that point, there wasn't much.
Yeah.
You know, and again, you have a cruiserweight division, and you just established that, you know, WWE guys can join the cruiserweight thing, and you leave Neville the crap out. It's probably like the best cruiserweight still probably on their roster right now.
Yeah.
That's staggering.
It's confusing.
Yeah.
So.
And that's one thing where it's like, you know, Full Sail gave the cruiserweight such a huge reaction. We're like, all right, these guys are going to, you know, gangbusters on Raw, and then you get kind of like a really just disappointing reaction. And it's like, guys, don't you realize you're watching some amazing talent in the ring, and
well,
it hasn't quite translated yet.
And another thing is, we don't get this like, who's that guy anymore? Like, we got Braun Strowman was the last one that was like, who's this guy out of nowhere?
Right.
And before that, like, Mason Ryan?
I mean, maybe. Like, Biggie.
Yeah, but Biggie, okay, well, I guess.
Again, to the casual viewer. Like, NXT, yeah. And NXT wasn't, like, they didn't have the network at that point. So basically, people who watched in Canada and the people who watched Hulu knew who Biggie was.
Yeah, but, like, Biggie came out, like, walked out as in a bodyguard situation, didn't he?
No, he just kind of came in and attacked, I believe it was Cena, because he was with, it was the whole Cena versus Ziggler thing.
Yeah.
And that formed the, you know, weird little family that they had that I still miss.
Best family ever.
Yeah, it was kind of like the end of Raw, I believe, where he just came in and attacked Cena, and just Biggie just standing there looking strong. We're like,
yeah,
what is this?
But the thing is, like, we don't get that.
Yeah.
Like we once did. And if we don't get that, and we don't get surprise returns, because everybody at the airport has a camera phone now.
Sure.
Like, where are your surprises?
This has kind of become like grumpy old man Leonard, who's just mad at technology.
Yeah.
Because I feel like this is the second knock on you know, people in airports that you've made.
I'll admit this is a little bit my yelling at a cloud.
Fair enough.
Like,
it's ruined the suspense. Some of it. They can still pull it off, but they have to try really hard.
I feel like as time moves forward, there has to be a lot of like adapting with, you know, things. And WWE's response isn't so much like, we'll adapt and figure it out. It's like, well, I guess we won't do that then.
Right.
So they've just they have continued to give the same show.
Mm-hmm.
They've stretched it to 3 hours and taken away some of the more fun parts because they can't guarantee that it will work exactly like they want it to.
Right.
And some of this they shot, like with NXT, they've shot themselves in the foot where, like, you can't have somebody come out of nowhere because it's like, oh yeah, I've seen them on NXT.
Sure. So, yeah. They did that with Strowman, who, like, did live shows with mm-hmm. NXT, but he never was on the show.
Yeah.
So he was, you know, he had a little bit of that surprise to it.
And I worry that this will, it's going to be a lot harder to debut a new character now. because I will have become much more, not even if I'm not attached, but like I will very much recognize this as this person.
Mm-hmm.
If Bray Wyatt were 3% of a worse actor than he is,
mm-hmm.
that would have fallen apart.
Oh, sure.
Like, he is just his sheer charisma and talent of dedicating and commitment to this character
mm-hmm.
that makes that work at all.
Fair enough.
It should not. Like, that is some solid work on his part
yeah.
of bringing this Bray Wyatt character and forcing it to work after having been on the show as Husky Harris for a significant amount of time.
Sure. Yeah. But talking about NXT, we would be remiss to not mention a little bit of what happened on NXT last night. Was the debut of Sanity. I feel like this is like the first real stable of NXT. Like, you know, we've had Enzo and Kaz and Carmella. Like, we've had three-person situations before.
I was going to say, at what point does it become a stable?
I feel like four people is a stable. You know?
Okay.
I don't know. I don't have any real...
So you're telling me...
DX, I know.
The NWO isn't a stable.
God. I don't know. But, like...
That's the name of this podcast. Chris didn't think the NWO was a stable.
It was. I mean, well, it certainly was. Seeing as how, like, 75% of the WCW roster was in NWO at some point at the same time.
The name of this podcast is Chris Prefers the NWO with 12 people in it. That was Chris's favorite NWO.
It was more like 27.
This three-person NWO just wasn't cutting it for Chris.
I don't know. Like, maybe it's because they have like a team name. Because because then like Revival, but that's only two people. You know.
So it's still technically a tag team.
So it's a tag team.
So it's got to be at least three people. With a name.
Yeah. A name makes a difference.
So is the New Day a stable?
Yeah.
Or is it a tag team?
New Day's a stable.
Even though all three of them were tag team champions?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
They're not stable
but
champions?
But only two of them fight for it at a time now.
Yes.
I liked it better with, like, Elimination Chamber with all three of them were involved, you know? But, they're absolutely a stable.
So is the Hart Dynasty a stable?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, because Natalya still competed.
But the Usos and Tamina were not a stable, even though they basically were created like that exclusively
to fight the Hart Dynasty. Yeah, because all Tamina did was beat up people and make out with Santino.
And Enzo, Big Cass, and Carmella are not a stable.
They didn't have a team name.
All right.
I feel like this is the class where we get tired version of what is and what isn't a sandwich.
What is a sandwich? At what point is it a stable?
Right. Yeah. I feel like more than two people and has to have a team name.
Okay.
Yep. I mean, that doesn't mean it's a good stable because, like I said on our message board, like, you know, League of Nations was like a stable for many horses because that stable sucked.
Yeah. No, it was pretty awful.
But the reason I brought it up because we've got like two guys that I've seen before on like basically they were jobbers or no name jobbers
right.
earlier in NXT. I know the female in the group had an indie career. I can't remember her name for the life of me. But the big thing is their quote unquote leader, which is Eric Young. From TNA. He had like one match against Samoa Joe, I feel like. Was it Joe? Like he had one NXT match. It was kind of treated like a one off.
Yeah.
And then it was a few months ago and we had no idea exactly what his situation with WWE or NXT was, and now he is part of Sanity. He's the leader of Sanity.
Right.
Not in the tag team that's in the Tag Team Classic. But that's a different thing. I enjoyed the reveal. I thought it was a good surprise because they had the match where like the other members revealed themselves whenever they were in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then the girl came in, kind of attacked Ty Dillinger and just over the course of doing that revealed who she was.
Right.
And then the final reveal was Eric Young coming out and then finally taking off everything off of his face, revealed crap pops. I it was pretty well done. I liked it.
Okay.
And it's an interesting, whether or not we can argue what is a stable and what's not a stable, it is an interesting and different element for NXT.
Right.
You know, and honestly, I feel like it'll be a good way for these performance center guys to kind of learn from veterans.
Yeah, all right, I get that.
Yeah,
all right,
so.
Sounds good. All right, anything else?
Nope, that's it for me.
All right, as always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRAttire, who we live tweet whenever we feel like it.
Yeah, and if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send them over our email. That's classringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You get new episodes every week straight to your podcast listening device, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. Give us a rating of
5 stars
or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
Yep, and if you're listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what are the kind of projects we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.